Aloha and welcome everyone to Making Love Visible, whether you're listening with your ears or you're looking with your eyes. My name is June Dillinger and I'm delighted that you've come on board today. I have one of the most interesting souls I have met in a long time, and I met her on Clubhouse. Her pronouns that she goes by is she and her. And this would chime in beautifully with a conversation I had a couple segments ago with Mix Jazz Prime. And our conversation was all about gender non-conforming conversations. And when I heard Dre speak on Clubhouse, I said to myself, I do not know who this bright soul is. And all I know is that I need to connect with her and find out what the skinny is. Because when she shared, I felt like the whole world stopped. And so let me introduce to you in living color, my friend Dre. He's 23 years old and he's from Toronto. And I'm just delighted to have you on board with me for this conversation of curiosity and wonder. So Dre, feel free to introduce yourself and add a few more bits and pieces so we can kick this conversation off brightly.
For sure, thank you for the welcome. Means a lot, and I thank you for the space that you've provided me for today. You know, it's spaces are important where we can feel comfortable and seen and heard, and my name is Dre. My pronouns are she and her. I'm a multimedia artist from Toronto, Canada, and I'm delighted to be here today. I'm delighted to be on your show, and I thank you for asking me to be here. And
yeah. I became curious when you shared because I heard a young voice, maybe an old soul, that was deeply connected to a level of spirituality for self. And I'm curious, could you share a little bit about your life journey so we could get to that point? Or were you just born this way?
Sure. I think it's like a mixture of both. Like, I think, since I was a little kid, I was always so engaged with other people. You know, growing up, even from the youngest age of being in school, like, I remember my teachers would always tell my parents, like, your child needs to like sit down more, your child is always speaking with other people, always like wanting to be like conversing with other people, you know. And when you're growing up, that's kind of negative, you know, in those parent teacher meetings. So, you know, for sure, I've definitely had some like barriers. But I definitely feel like this has always been who I am, and just now stepping into my full truth and my full authenticity every moment of every day, and mixing in, you know, my pains and my traumas and everything like that into my story, which is me, you know, and really just diving deep and following what I believe and following what's in my heart rather than what is kind of projected in, not just identity, but like the spirituality realm, you know, where it's like, oh, you need to have crystals and you need to be astrology and all this, you know, stuff. And I'm like, I don't really, like, I have nothing against that, but I don't resonate with any of that in this very moment, you know. And I think spirituality is like the intention of the being rather than the words that are being said. And a lot of people can get really wrapped up in things that people say, but then actually don't feel anything, and then actually there's like an illusion that is created, versus people who are genuinely like wanting to help and be there, you know. For an empath and somebody who can feel energy, it's really quick to pick up on those energies, you know. But for somebody that is new to this space and, you know, trying to open up themselves, like, it can be very challenging to really even know that there are people that are trying to take advantage rather than that are just genuinely having the sole intention to provide light for the world and in every single person, and not trying to have an actual transaction.
Have an actual transaction for real. And actually, that's what I was feeling. I wanted to have an actual transaction with you because I knew you had a gift to offer on behalf of the light that you share. I'm curious about the non-gender conversation because you've chosen the pronouns she, her, and hers. Has that freed you or offered you a less, perhaps I'll use the word polarizing experience? in your physical body? Has that offered you more opportunity to come forward with your light and your conversation?
Yes and no. I feel like it's created more like barriers in the same sense, because, you know, being perceived, even if I say my pronouns, even if I have my pronouns visible, I'm still perceived all the time, you know, and it can be challenging sometimes, you know, for sure, when I'm like, okay, my whole life I've wanted to get to this point where I'm like, oh, my pronouns are she, her, and hers. I always forget that last one, the hers, but I always just say she, her, but yeah, she, her, and hers. And there's something that's so euphoric, but so like, in a way, like breaking trauma when I hear somebody say she or her, like, and speaking about me, that it's so like affirming, but it's so as well as like, I don't know, there's like this like light and darkness in the same, like in the same feeling. And I guess it's just, you know, 22 and a half years of not like trying to push my truth away, and like most of my life not even like being aware of who I am and who I was created to be, you know, growing up and thinking like I was gay, and then I was like, oh, but like women are still the most beautiful, like, you know, people in the world, like the way, like the feelings and everything, and then like pushing that back down. And then it's just been like I feel like I've lived like 3 or 4 lives already inside of this one life, you know. And I do believe that I've been here before for sure, because, you know, I've been having these conversations, not to this extent, but like in the spiritual realm since I was like 16, 17, like really young. And I remember like sometimes I would be speaking with people like, you know, 2-3 times my age, and they would be like, oh, what, like you're 16 or 17? And I'm like, yeah. And these people would literally be like, you know, 2-3 times my age and stuff like that. So moving into my truth, and like, you know, I don't really think that I chose. I think that my pronouns chose me. And it's not like that I'm just like, oh, this is what, like, I think it's just like me having the strength to break through the comfort zones and break through like my own growing up conditioning and projection, I guess, and boxing of the world that I'm now still, you know, of course, stepping into that truth every moment, every minute, every hour, every day, where I can feel the changes happening. But for sure, it's been a roller coaster, and it's not like, oh, I acknowledge that I'm trans and the world is like beautiful. No, like you open a door of trauma that's never been opened before. And, you know, it's just having the keys now to open that door and be able to have some sort of strength to face it, even if some days are like the bottom of the roller coaster or the bottom of the ocean, and then some days are like the top of the wave. So it's just, you know, I believe that everything happens for a reason. I believe, you know, when we have the strength and we're given the strength by the universe or the divine or the source or God or whatever people believe in. I believe in God and like the divine and the universe. I'm spiritual and not religious, just to make that clear, because people can get so quick to, oh, you say God, like you must be religious and all that. And they start to perceive you again. You know what I mean? And
I have a great acronym for God. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And I've probably said it in some of the other podcasts, and good orderly design. Okay. I feel it takes the weight off of the God experience. Like, have you been saved? I'm like, well, you know, I'm working on some good orderly design. I feel the flow through me. Thank you so much for sharing that, because while I am not particular for labels, the world labels everything.
Of course.
And it's inevitable that it occurs. And so the way I grew up, I was adopted at birth. My father slipped off an icy road when he was studying at Yale and became a paraplegic. He met my mother in a hospital. She was his physical therapist, and they went on to get married, move from the East Coast or Midwest to San Diego, where I was adopted at birth. And being raised by a man who used a wheelchair for transportation back in the 60s, was a whole experience around judgment. But as a child, not knowing any different, I began to see a much broader perspective. So living here in Honolulu now for almost 40 years, people have said to me, how do you survive? You're so haole, which means, haole means without breath. It's a slang word that was given from the Hawaiians to the white people that basically took over the islands. They don't care. They have no breath. They have, so it's haole as a slang word for a Caucasian person here. And they, and I just said, you know what? I didn't notice. I just never really noticed. I noticed, but not really noticed, because I'm too intrigued by people. I'm curious by people. And it's not the stuff on the outside. It's what's coming forth from the inside. And so when you shared about spirituality on, I think it was a Conscious Conversations conversation that we were in the same room on, I super tuned into the spirit from within that you were sharing. And it was no longer about the outer shell. However, and the reason why I wanted you to come on board with me is because people, the outside world, have identification with what they see. Mm-hmm. And while this is both a vlog and a podcast, expressing who we are through our words is vitally important. And so I wanted to reach all perspectives and dispel myths about beingness and self and where we're coming from. And so can you share a little bit about your discovery of that inner voice, or that the God within, or the spirit within, and how did that tickle your, like, where did that first nudge come from, where you began to notice there was more than just the you that the, perhaps the world, or you were calling yourself as you, Dre?
Pain.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to share more?
Of course. I just wanted to just let it sit for a second. A couple of years ago, it was interesting how it happened, because like I started really moving into this probably 2.5 years ago. And then this person came into my life so unexpectedly, like out of nowhere, like literally out of nowhere. And we built a really quick, it was a friendship at the time, but I knew that there was always something more, just the energy. Like even from the first time we had met, like we had been mutuals through social media for like a year or so before. And then once we had met, it was like, who are you? Like, you know, like I feel like I'm on another planet, like when we're together. And I never felt that way in my life about anybody. And like the prior 5 years before that, it was like definitely tough, you know, just like trying to find like who I was, my like sexuality, because growing up, it wasn't about identity. I didn't know anything about identity. We weren't provided anything about identity. It was all about sexuality, and that's it, you know? And so that took me a little bit of time to then actually realize, like, you know, oh, well, what's like, what's above sexuality? You know what I mean? Like, this is like way more, like, I'm not trying to say sexuality is important, but like identity is like so much more like vital to the being of a human, you know? And that was so like off the table. So once I started kind of like seeing that person more, like her and I like really were, you know, just helping each other out, building a bond. And like, you know, with energy comes energy. So like once like eventually like things happened, and it was very quick, from everything, like from like meeting in person to like being like partners or whatever it was. And then actually then, you know, things going the other way, which I never even expected as well. You know, I was just like, I was lost, you know, I was lost. I didn't know anything. Like I, like the whole, prior to that, I was already like creating for like a year or 2 years, like pretty steady. But, you know,
when you say creating, tell me more about that.
Like photo shoots, painting, like, you know, just trying to start actually, because when you go up outside of the city, outside of Toronto, like it's a lot of like 9-to-5 life, which I have nothing against. But for me, I just knew that was never who I was. Like when I was in high school, I just like, I knew it. Like I was like, I cannot work in a job where I'm sitting, where I'm going to the same place every day in the same hour. I can't, you know what I mean? It goes back to grade 1 to grade 6 to like, you know, where I wasn't even able to sit down in those areas, you know, for like 30, 40 minutes, you know? So like, it's just always been who I am. And then, you know, then I just knew that I just had this calling to start doing more than what was kind of expected of a person from a small city outside of a major city, you know, like you just get a job, you get a family, you get a house, you check off all the boxes.
That's, and then, not just there, it's everywhere.
I understand, yeah. But all I know is here, right? Yes. Like all I know is my environment. So then I had this calling, like, you know, I'm gonna start taking photos. So I started to, you know, follow, I made an Instagram. It was so funny. I made another Instagram because I had my personal, like, for a lot of my life. And then I was actually on vacation and I had anxiety to make this Instagram because it was different. And, like, you know, when you're coming from outside the city, like, you know, you do different things. You care about everyone else's opinion rather than your actual own self. So it was so funny. I was literally on vacation. And then I started my new Instagram, like, probably like three and a half years ago now. And then, yeah, so for then up until like almost 2 years ago, I was just like, you know, I was in between school and stuff. So I was like trying to do photos and photo shoots as much as I can, you know, in between of school, like every second that I had. And then this person came into my life and, you know, blew me away. And then I was crushed very quickly after that. And, you know, it's funny how, at the time I was like, whoa, like, universe, like, is this my soulmate? And then the universe was like, haha, just kidding. And then it shot me into this path of like finding myself again, because I had never actually truly found myself or even known who I was in all aspects, you know. And, you know, learning that closure comes from within, not from someone else's words. And, you know, then obviously going into like a lot of like alcohol abuse and stuff like that for myself, where, you know, I was just enjoying the process, channeling all my emotions of like through the storms into my work. And, you know, just going day by day, moving into the city and stuff like that, and just really going like hard, like, and just doing as much as I could daily. And, you know, just channeling all emotions into my work, into my, you know, I started doing Uber Eats, like walking and stuff. So exercise and just like everything like that. So, yeah, that's when I finally found, like, it came to me. Like, I was just, because I don't really believe, like, everything that I create, everything that I say, I understand that it's me, but I'm just a vessel, you know what I mean? Like, it's from outside of me, you know. I'm just the chosen person in this, for me, to be able to have this story, you know. And sometimes we can get so wrapped up into the ego that we think that, like, oh, this is me, like, this is my creation, this is my style, this is my work. And yeah, it is true, like, this is my story and this is my work, but I just create, like, when I create, I don't think, it just comes to me and I do, you know, most of the time. Like, obviously I still plan and all that stuff, but like, yeah, so just knowing that, like, I'm just a vessel and like I have a duty, I guess you could say, like, you know, I really figured out my why through Clubhouse, which was so interesting because I never even knew anything even about that prior, never thought about it, never even was like, you know.
Save that thought. I want to talk about your why in just a few minutes. Right. You shared a statement, you said closure comes from within. Mm-hmm. That's really, really powerful, because you had to do the work and you had to walk the path. And you, for whatever reason, that experience was called in for you to see self, for you, yes, to see more of who you be, who you are. Mm-hmm. And I, perhaps like you, I believe in, it's a co-creation. It's not just me. It's not just the universe. It's this combination of, when I speak out loud, what am I speaking to? Because if it's the word of God and the God source flows through me, that's my good orderly design. What am I actually uttering with my word? Mm-hmm. So I once gave a Sunday message at Unity in Dallas, and I said, word, like that, like word, sort of like I was like that, right? Like, yeah, that word. And before I knew it, for the following week while teaching, people would walk through the hallways and they'd say, word, June, or word up. And it was just fun because it's the word that comes from our lips. It's what, that co-creation. And having joined Clubhouse, hearing my voice, hearing your voice, has created this co-creation. And what I felt most connected to with you about, Dre, was this, a light that you are that needs nothing more than just being you, and that you are enough, and that I am enough. And whatever comes through me and to me is exactly the way it's supposed to be based on my beingness. And when I listen to you share, that's what I hear. And so whatever comes to you and flows through you and is you and bees you is exactly that. Perhaps my thinking is that the discovery of your why. So share with me what you discovered about your why, and tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. It just kept on coming up in conversations. I would just keep hearing it, you know, I would just keep hearing it. And I didn't, like, at first I was just like, oh, I already know my why, you know, I already know it, but I actually didn't, you know? And at first, actually, I didn't even think it was important. And then it moved into like, oh, I already know it. And then I was on a walk, like, cause I go for a lot of walks and bike rides every day. I was on a walk probably like a week ago. It was probably like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And it just like came to me, and I was like, oh my. And like, you know, my why is to bring light, you know. And it's so interesting, like, first of all, I wanted to say something when you were talking. I heard this in a clubhouse room. Someone had said, our soul has already chosen our life, and we were just like, I'm paraphrasing, but our soul has already chosen what we are going through and what we will go through. We just are the ones that actually are living the path. And that just like struck me, because I'm like, sometimes, you know, when I'm going through like challenging moments, or like I have to have tough conversations or whatever it is, like sometimes I'm like, why can't it be easier? You know, why me? You know? And when that person said that, I was like, oh my goodness. But you know, back to my why, it just like came to me, and I was like, wow, to provide light. And something that one of my friends and I, we talk about here and there, is like, if we want greatness, well, we have to have the other side at the same sense, you know. And there's no, like, I saw this quote maybe like a week ago, and it was like, through the darkest nights produces the brightest stars. And like, it's that in itself, you know, because like, when we go through the pain and the darkness, sometimes we feel like it's overwhelming, you know, and we can be so like, I can be so like, in the past, up until probably like the summer, I was always like trying to go right to the deep, not trying, I was going right to the defense, like right away, you know, rather than just like sitting and being and just like embracing. And I never even knew that was possible, of course, because like it all takes time. But now I really try my best to just sit in the eye of the storm rather than trying to like push it down or like numb myself further, which I still believe is okay, because I went through that process for like a year and a half, you know, of self-induced numbing. And I believe that like when you have the intention, or even like it could be subconscious, because like it was never even the conscious intention of like, oh, I want to heal, but I obviously wanted to heal. And like, you know, but even like now, you know, it's almost been like 2 years, like I still have like moments where it hits me and like I'm hurt, you know. And like sometimes I'm like, screw you know, like directly, but like just like physically speaking. And I'm like, you suck, like that sucks, but like I know it's all for something like greater, you know. And it can be a lot sometimes, but I know that, of course, since I've dealt/embraced and had to like just live with the underdog, I guess you can say, my whole life, I know that's gonna have like such a hundredfold from the universe like very soon. So it's just like, you just gotta hold on and keep pushing and like don't let go. But as well as like sometimes we have to let go, you know. I was having this conversation in my friend's room on Monday. She does the Art of Healing every Monday night at 6 p.m. PST, 9 p.m. EST, I think it is. And one of the moderators was saying, like, you know, to like getting lost on the path. And then I said, like, right when that person had said that, it came to me. I was like, do you think when we get lost on the path, that's when we find ourselves? And then we went into a little conversation about that. And it's like, it's just that in itself, you know, like when we let go and we try to like make it happen. When we try to make it happen, that's when the universe is like, oh, you got it? All right, I'm gonna go help people that are moving in faith rather than just like moving in ego. But when we let go, which is very difficult, like it's not just like, oh, like I'm letting go. Like, no, it takes time, you know, for sure. But when we let go, that's when the universe just is like, oh, blessings, 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 blessing. And, you know, you're just like, whoa, where are all these coming from? I've just been doing the, you know, the same thing. But it's like, of course, it's all from inside.
I think, too, there needs to be a willingness. There needs to be an opening. There needs to be a desire. Because there are lots of people that would rather just sit and bellyache and bellyache and bellyache and just, you know, bitch, moan and complain like people do. It brings me to a point. I have my book, The Benefit of the X.
Beautiful.
And the reason why I share this is because that whole thing is like, I chose the title, The Benefit of the X, because people go like, oh yeah, right, right. So it's the same process of rather than sitting in victim, what can I do? Can I be willing? Can I be open? Can I allow? Can I invite? All of these thought processes. Is it possible that I'm being set up for success in this horrible life experience? Is it possible that there's more? What is the universe? What is Buddha, Allah, Muhammad, God? I don't care who you, I don't care if you don't even have a spiritual life. What are you being set up for that's wanting to emerge to show us more? And being in that thought process, it doesn't make Dre, honestly, some days I go like, you know what, this pretty well sucks. I've been working on this for so long. How come I haven't been noticed or stuff like that? You know, what makes it better? But it comes back to that same statement about my why. And I had no idea until I knew that it was making love visible. How can I make love visible? How can you bring light? And what can we do? Like that legacy, that possibility of leaving something that really makes a difference from a felt level, not a seen level. And I have to remind myself that it's not about looking good, because I do like to look good. Mm-hmm. So for you being a sweet, young 23, oh my gosh, your voice is loud and clear. So where are you? Where are you? Do you have an idea of where this path wants to take you? Or do you have a notion of what's calling you?
Yes, but then no at the same time. I really just focus day by day, moment by moment. You know, my days go by in like 2 seconds. Like I wake up. Sometimes, like lately, it's been like I've been waking up really late, going to bed like in the early mornings. I've been in these like NFT rooms a lot and just like learning this whole new life that like has changed.
NFT, share the acronym for our audience.
Non-fungible tokens. So okay. It's like, yeah, it's providing like a whole like it's changing everything, and it's changing everything forever. Like people may think like it's just for a moment, it's a trend, but no, it's changing everything. It's like the internet. It's like web 3.0 now, you know, and we will see it forever now. Like, you know, it's starting to just like, we're just scratching the surface of it. Like we're just scratching the surface. And like, you already kind of see like mainstream kind of picking it up. Like Taco Bell just like posted or minted their first NFT the other day, you know. And like, but anyways, sorry, what was the question? I just like NFT comes in, I'm like, woo, right there.
That's okay. It was actually, what direction might you see yourself heading in?
Right.
I like it.
Forward and up. That's all I see. You know what I mean? Straight up. And how that's gonna happen, no idea. But like, you know, what I'm focusing on is every day. And like before I go to bed every night, I write 3 personal goals and 3 craft goals that I want to focus on the next day. I do my meditation. I get outside as much as I can, trying to like get outside at least twice a day. I actually just moved back into my parents because like I was like, oh, you know, Toronto, I'm gonna take a step back. I didn't have that feeling anymore, you know. It was wonderful because I'm like, my whole life was, I've always wanted to live there. And then I lived there for like 2 years. And like, you know, I feel like I really suffocated as much as I can out of it for this moment as well. And I've been here since like the start of quarantine because I needed to like give myself space for my mental health. And now, you know, it's definitely challenging. There's definitely a lot of hard days and there's definitely a lot of roller coasters, you know, but what I've realized is that I don't want to run away, you know, because I feel like my whole life I've been running away, even if it was running away to go find myself, which is such a like interesting analogy, you know. I don't know where I will be taken. I know what I see right now and, you know, my impact in this moment, but I don't know where it's going to lead me. And I'm okay with that. Like, you know, I'm just getting started. And like, even if I've been doing this for like 3-4 years, like creative artist or creative whatever, I don't really know. I don't really label myself. I'm still getting started every day. You know, I'm still trying new things every day. And like, and it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And this is who I am. This is who I always was meant to be, you know, and everything that I'm moving into, a lot of it, you know, I don't really know, but that's okay. Like there's something that I try and think about sometimes is like, this is like, there's two types of people. There's the one person that knows everything that doesn't know anything, or there's the person that doesn't know anything that is open to receiving everything. And I'm the second person, and I'll always be the second person. You know, that's where I feel like the most availability of like gratitude, of empathy, of compassion, of healing, of peace is. It's not about actually knowing. It's actually about being vulnerable to be like, I actually don't know, you know? And that's something that is hard for me sometimes, to ask questions or ask for help, you know, because of just what I've been conditioned by my whole life. But, you know, it takes time. And like, you know, a month ago, wouldn't have been comfortable about speaking on Clubhouse. 20 people, 50 people, 100 people, 200, whatever, 400 people. Now, I still have a little bit of anxiety, but I'm like, I know this is for me, you know, right. And I'm empowered by it at the same time.
I'd love to moderate a room with you, by the way.
Let's get it going.
I would like to ask you one last question. Your hashtag is Strictly Spoken.
That's my brand.
Spoken. I love it. I love your art. I love your poetry. I see you have a TikTok, a Spotify, a YouTube, an Instagram, and a variety of things. You know, you just got to spread the love, right? Spread the light, for that matter. Tell me about how you chose Strictly Spoken.
Came
because
to me.
It's alive.
I didn't choose it. 2 years ago?
It chose
me. 2 years ago? It chose me. 2 years ago, you know, I used to have a really, like, really bad anxiety attacks that were caused by myself. I used to smoke a lot of weed. And at the time, and even up until like 4 months ago, I always thought that it was because of the amount that I was smoking, but it was actually the things that I was pushing down, in the same sense, at the same sense of having fun, though, that I didn't realize that it was actually deeper things that was causing the anxiety that was being brought up, even if I didn't even know about it. It was being brought up like through the anxiety, but obviously I didn't know. So then, you know, I just started speaking 2 years ago. I made a podcast on comfort zones, and then I released it. At the time, I was like really in depth in photography and photo shoots, and I released it. And then the imposter syndrome came in, and I was like, this is not for me. And I took a step back. And then like 8 or 9 months later, I was like, I want to talk about anxiety because like I'm living through it every day. So then I made another episode on anxiety, released it, imposter syndrome came in, left it alone. You know, people commented, you know, shared their whatever. And then it wasn't up until last August. I was like, you know, of course, with the healing, the time for myself, like being in check with my mental health the best that I could, you know, giving myself space to breathe, healing from the heartbreak, my trans identity coming up, everything. I was like, okay, I need to do this now. So then I just started in August, like, you know, releasing podcasts. And then in October, prior to that, I was having a lot of conversations with people that would actually like suck the energy out of me, even if it was like people that were close to me. Mm-hmm. And where we would have conversations and like I would leave the conversation like no energy. You know what I mean? No energy. As well as like, you know, people pleasing, which I'm healing from now as well. And then I realized I was like, I still want to connect with people, but I don't want to actually physically have to speak. So then I started writing my blog. So now I've been writing my blog daily. And then after I started that, I realized I was like, I don't just have a podcast. I don't just have a blog. I don't just, you know, I actually have a brand here, you know? So then I just took it and like, I've been with it, you know, for the past, since really October is when I really started. And yeah, so then different like things have been coming. I've been doing a lot of like interviews and stuff like that. Run a Facebook group with like 600 people like around the world.
Oh, tell us what the Facebook group is. It Strictly Spoken on Facebook?
Strictly Spoken's Group of Love and Light. You know, it's, you know, it's, it is what it is. Like, you know, it's a place to share stories, to share insight, to ask questions, to be vulnerable, to provide resources, whatever, you know, whatever anybody needs, and to provide space, you know, for people to be open to sharing, you know. And so many people have messaged me and been like, thank you, like, you know, I've never felt comfortable. And something else that I've been loving as well is like Reddit. Like Reddit is such a beautiful place, even though there are some projectors out there of their own pains. It's been such a beautiful place daily, you know, posting my blogs there, because just receiving the messages that I do daily, like it, like every day, like I'm just like, this is why I do it. You know, this is why I do everything. Like just one little message from somebody, or like a couple messages or whatever it is, or 30 messages, whatever, you know, it's just, I'm just like, it all makes it full circle, you know, no matter how many platforms are on, I'm on, or no matter how many conversations I have or pieces of content that I put out, you know, just those little just like responses really just make it like affirm that everything that I'm doing is actually worth it and actually like meant for something greater. And I don't need to know what that is because it's already mine. So I just gotta keep going.
Beautiful. Dre, we've been chatting here for almost 50 minutes. Like time went like that. Well, you called it. You said you lose track of time before you know it. It's a new day. Have I missed anything, or is there any last piece that you'd like to share before we call it a wrap?
I just want to thank you. Thank you for the space. Thank you for having me on. And it's been an honor to be able to share my story and, you know, feel empowered to share it.
My absolute pleasure. I want to thank all of you that are listening to this program, Making Love Visible, on behalf of my guest, Dre. I'll have all the hashtags for you so you can find a way to find a way to connect with his light, because it's so brilliant. It's so bright. And thank you so much for joining us in either the audio podcast or the visual vlog. Mm-hmm. Very happy to have you, and look forward to seeing you all again next week on Learning curve, everyone. Learning curve. Just out of here. I asked Dre. I said, Dre, so how do you feel like you felt about this experience? And this is what he shared with me. Please.
So what she shared was that mistakes happen with pronouns for me as well. This is just for me. My one person opinion, because opinions are going to be different from every person. But for me, you know, when somebody's pronouns are shared and there are, you know, others perceiving that person and still putting their beliefs in front of that, you know, the person might actually call them out, you know. But what I always say is like, mistakes are cool. They're fine with me. I'd rather them obviously not happen, but it's about what happens after the mistake, you know. Like, do you have the awareness and like the self-awareness to be like, oh, I mean, she, you know, or is it like, you know, are we going to just keep moving forward? I don't want to say ignorance, because ignorance is such like there's so much like emotion behind that word. That I don't want to say ignorance, but because sometimes we're not even aware, you know.
Well, yes, it's the mindfulness for me to connect, because when I asked you, so how did you think it went? And you said, well, you said you used the pronouns he, she, or he, him twice in the beginning and once in the end. I went, you know, it's just the connection. It's I'm not I could say it's my age. It's a new conversation for me, which is definitely ignorance. I just had that long interview with Mixed Jazz Prime about this non-gender identity conversation. And it's taken a conscious effort. And if you hadn't said that to me, Dre, I wouldn't have said, let's do an outtake. Yeah. This is a perfect learning curve for me and for everyone else, because maybe there are viewers that said, oh my gosh, June just called Dre a him or a him instead of a she. Like, she's not, June is not being conscious of this person's identity. Right. And I'm glad that you said it. And so thank you for addressing that. It's rich. And that's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Of course, yeah.
Anything else I need a lesson on?
I want to talk about what non-gender identity means for you, because like I don't really know what that means, and I want to hear your words to that first, and then I want to put in my own two cents.
Well, I became aware of it with a young person in my life who I interviewed a couple of weeks ago, and it was her mother. There's a separate conversation between a mother that has an offspring, choosing proper words, an offspring that goes by the they, them. She identifies as a she, as a part of the gay community. And for me, it becomes a way for me to understand more where someone's coming from, where who they're being, and honoring them for that space. Did I answer your question, Dre?
It's interesting that you said gay community, because what we were talking about in the interview was like the identity, and it's actually like, you know, LGBTQIA+.
Yes.
Because it's, somebody can be queer but not gay at the same time.
Exactly. So I could have chosen LGBTQAI and all of the other letters that I'm not familiar with. As a statement, I chose to use what Mixed Jazz Prime used, which I did not preface either. So I feel like I'm learning a whole new subset or a set of vocabulary, Dre, that's expanding how I communicate with people. And the last thing I want to do, I mean, look, I'm a 58-year-old hetero woman in white skin that looks like I do, with super white hair, and no body work done for, I could go get my throat done or whatever, but, you know, to have a certain come from, I want to be able to connect with people. And if I didn't ask you, let's do an outtake on this, how could I ever possibly learn? And I expect that. I want people to share their thoughts and feelings. So is there anything else that I need to
hear? I love that. Like, you know, vulnerability and like the accountability is such a strength, you know, and that's why, you know, I said like it's the intent behind the person, because of course, like, it still doesn't feel good for me. Of course it doesn't feel good either way, like if the person's loving or malicious, but it's about, you know, me having like, it's funny because like I'm like, I have to have compassion to people, you know, when I'm moving through this space of like being accepted by those people as well, which is such like a cluster, like rocking a hard place, and I'm like being hit on both sides at the same time. So I appreciate you, you know, just being like, oh, let's take an outtake and let's not have this conversation behind like walls, and just like add it to the end rather than just like, okay, it's a closed conversation, I'm gonna learn from this, but being like, okay, if 5 people or 5,000 people watch this, they'll know that, like, you know, it's a learning curve, and it's a learning curve for me too. I'm still learning, like, I don't know anything, you know what I mean? Like, I know a little bit, but I'm still learning all the time. Like, I don't, like, you know, just being is like, you know, just getting up sometimes is a challenge, even though I'm so ready. You know, when I wake up, I'm like, let's go. I'm up again. I'm blessed to wake up again. Let's go.
The same. You know? I feel exactly the same. I'm like, oh, on fire for my life. Let's go get it. Like, to step out the door and live at large, for sure.
But it's important. It's important. I'll just say this. It's important to be vulnerable. You know, like, I feel like I've had the privilege to be hyper vulnerable up to this point where I have this space of like, oh, my comfort zone is still there, of course, but I'm like aware of it, that sometimes I let the comfort zone overwhelm me, but then as well as sometimes, you know, I have to like break through. And the thing is like, no one's perfect. No one has it all the way through figured out, you know, like for sure, we all have intentions. Of course, we all have goals and stuff we want to like, quote unquote, check off. But like most of the time, those goals come and go, and like we're on to something better, you know. And it's just, you know, being vulnerable, sharing, being accountable, self-awareness, and just saying like, hey, I screwed up. I might screw up 2 seconds later.
I appreciate you being brave and speaking to it when I asked you, because if you didn't, what would I have gotten? Nothing. I would have been in the same place. And there's something else important that I do want to share before we call this a wrap a second time, is listening. The skill of listening is so huge. I've discovered it the last year in this coaching program I've just completed for professional coaching. The listening skill, it's not just listening to the person sharing, but a deep inner listening of what my own narrative is, what this own story of mine is. And am I actually hearing the words that I'm emitting, carefully Bingo. Connecting to you, right?
Bingo. Because I was just going to say, you can listen. You can listen all day long. But if you don't hear the person, and I don't mean you directly, but I just mean broad spectrum of you as humans. Mm-hmm. If we don't actually take a sec, like I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and you know, it was probably one of the first conversations that this person had about, not first conversation with another trans human being, but like, you know, where the space was safe. And I appreciated that person's energy so much, because, you know, after I was done speaking, it wasn't about like they made a mistake or anything, but after I was done speaking, yeah. It wasn't like right away saying something. It was like listening.
Definitely.
And then taking a pause and just being. And what I said to them was like, I appreciate you so much just for not having your own thought 4 seconds after I stopped speaking. Because this is all new. And as I said, this is all new for me as well. But sometimes we're so quick to share our own thoughts to something we don't know based off of our experiences 2 seconds after that person has spoken.
Oh my God. I have someone in my mind that would be just like cheering you on, saying, June, that's you. And I'm like, yeah. Oh shit. Oh, Dre. You're an absolute delight. You're a fresh, bright light. And let me let that land. Please complete your sentence, and then we'll definitely call it a wrap.
You know, it's just like making space, you know, which is what I appreciate you're doing for myself in this moment, and like other people, making space to share, you know, to take notes as I've seen you've been doing, and then kind of like coming back to it, asking questions, and taking like things without a malicious intent, but just like, oh, this person just is sharing out of love. And that's difficult, because people, you know, when they see somebody like calling them out, they take it in like negativity. They take it in like, I'm wrong. And we have a very tough time as a society to be called wrong. You know, it's like a stab to the back, and like, we're like, that's it, you know, it's over. But it's like, that's where the growth is. You know, there is, I was saying this on the podcast like a couple of weeks ago or a month ago. I don't know how time is like freaking nothing now. Like it's like 1 second is like 3 days. But I was saying that like there really is no growth in success. We think there is, But we forget that there's actually only really affirmation. And growth is the process of the failures, of the mistakes, because I don't really believe that there are mistakes. If we can grow from it and we can learn, then isn't that a positive? But we've been so conditioned, you know, by school, by letters and grades. And, you know, if you're F, you're dumb. If you're A, you're smart. It's like, maybe that's just not your way of learning. But we're never shown that. And that's all I have to say.
Well, everyone, I hope you all stuck around for the grand finale, because
boy, did we get it.
Hey, again, Dre, thank you for your time. And everybody, I hope that you stuck around for the outtake. I guess it's called an outtake. And be blessed and see you next Sunday. Aloha.